Welcome to the Three Creeks Church Podcast. We exist to help people find and follow Jesus here in Gahanna, Ohio. For more information about our church, visit us online at threecreekschurch.com.
All right, well, good morning. Welcome to Three Creeks. We're in the middle of a series that we're calling 21 Days of Prayer. We're in week three of week four, and we decided to do this series because as a spiritual direction team, we got together and we said, what do we feel like God wants to say to our church? And when someone said, I think we need to do a series on prayer, everybody nodded in agreement that this is what God wanted to say to you. And upon reflecting on that, you know, unanimous nod, I thought, why were we all on the same page about that? And it's because we have a sense that you want to go deeper in your relationship with Jesus. And we know that there are people in here who you've never had a deep relationship with Jesus. You've maybe heard people talk about it and you want one. And we also acknowledge that there's people in here who have had one before, but you don't have one right now. And you feel like you are in the doldrums of your walk with the Lord. And I've said this the first 2 weeks. I'm going to say it today, and I'll say it again next week. Prayer is both the cause and the effect of a deep relationship with Jesus. When you pray, it causes you to have a deep relationship with Jesus. And when you have a deep relationship with Jesus, the effect is that you have you pray. You just pray more. And if you're interested at all in taking a step to go deeper in your walk with Jesus, if you want your faith to be deeper than it is right now, I'm telling you, prayer is the difference maker. Prayer is the key. Prayer is what takes you to that next level with the Lord. But if we're honest, I've said this before too, and I'll say it again. If we're honest, we all have more questions about prayer than answers about prayer. And we could talk about prayer for the rest of my life, and we may not be able to cover everything that there is to know about prayer. I'm not sure that we'll ever figure out the mystery of this thing, that we get to talk with God. We've said that, I don't know that there's really anybody in the room who would raise their hand and go, I pray enough. I don't think there's anybody in here that would say, I just feel like I'm praying too much. I don't think anybody would honestly say that. And then the other thing that I thought this week is, I think there's a lot of us that pray more than people think that we do. You know, like somebody goes like, I know you were praying for me. And you're like, I wasn't, you know, like, I don't think I ever prayed for you. Like this week, I'm just being honest. This week, I took my kids over to the fire station, which is next to my house. And we were talking to Mr. Pat is his name. And he was showing us the fire truck. And we were talking there. And I just said to him, I said, man, we just love living next to you guys. We feel like that's this, you know, layer of security. You know, if something were happening to our kids, we can just run them over here. We're just thankful you guys are here. And he said, well, and we know you're a pastor. And so we know that every time we drive these trucks by your house, we know you're praying for us. I'm like, I don't know if I've ever prayed one time for those fire trucks. I'm just being honest. And sometimes I am embarrassed at how I view prayer. This week, it may have been the same day. We were sitting on our breezeway eating tacos, and I was so hungry. And so we said to Cooper, we said, who do you want to pray for dinner? And she said, I'm going to pray. I thought, yes, it's going to be a short one. We're going to get into the meal here in just a second. And Cooper, she goes, you know, dear Jesus, she does her thing. In Jesus' name, amen. I pick up my taco, and I'm ready to go. And she goes, now it's your turn, Daddy. I'm like, Cooper, that's not how it goes, okay? Only one person's supposed to pray. Like, I'm so hungry for this taco, but I'm like, I will relent, and I will also pray as well. And so I prayed, and I said amen, and then I pick it up again, and she goes, now, Mommy, it's your turn. And I'm like, Cooper, stop being disobedient. It's only one prayer, you know? And I'm so embarrassed even saying it because it's how I felt. Literally, like, during Morgan's prayer, I started, like, you know, getting ready to eat my taco. And I just think, I can't even give 30 seconds to a creator who hears me in the presence of my children. I just, sometimes I'm a little embarrassed about how much I pray. Like I said, if I preached about prayer for the rest of my life, I'm not sure if I could cover it all. In 4 weeks, I'm thinking maybe I'll cover 1%. But my hope is that over 4 weeks that I could just give you four principles that you can install in your life, in your prayer life. It would inspire you to pray, and then you would have a deeper relationship with Jesus because of it. That is my hope for you in this series. Week one, I shared with you that prayer isn't really about getting what you want. It's about aligning your heart with God's heart so that you end up wanting what he wants. And then last week we talked about what we do when God does answer our prayers. Many of us would rather know what we're supposed to do when he doesn't answer our prayers. How do you handle that? And if you're interested in that, come back next week and we're going to talk about it. But last week we talked about when God does answer our prayers as a Christian, what are we supposed to do? How are we supposed to respond with what God does in our lives? And we talked about how we're supposed to give it back and give glory to God through ways that he has changed our lives. But if I were to look at this whole series as a whole and go week 1, 2, 3, and 4, if there's one thing that I want you to remember from this whole thing, it's what we're going to talk about today. If you forget every other thing I said and every story I've told and every Bible verse we read, if you just would remember one thing, it's what we're going to talk about today. And I want to pray real quick right now and ask God that he would not let you forget this one. Let me just pray. Father, we ask you that you would let this ring in our hearts and let it be something that we hang on to forever in our darkest days that may be ahead of us. Father, would you help us remember today's message? In Jesus' name, amen. The one thing that I would want you to remember about prayer is that prayer changes things. Prayer changes things. I'm telling you, prayer changes things. And I know that for two reasons. The first reason is that I see story after story after story after story in the Bible where I see prayer change things. There's a verse that literally even says that God changes his mind. It doesn't say that he changes his character. It says that he changes his mind because of the prayers of his people. I told you last week about a woman named Hannah. Hannah is struggling with infertility, and she wants a son more than anything in the world. And in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 10, Hannah says this. It says, Hannah was in deep anguish, crying bitterly as she prayed to the Lord, and she made this vow, O Lord of heaven's armies, if you will look upon my sorrow and answer my prayer and give me a son, then I will give him back to you. And God heals Hannah's body, and God allows her to get pregnant, and she has a boy named Samuel. And after 2 years of weaning him, she goes back to the temple, and she's going to give him back to God. And when the high priest, Eli, comes up and starts talking to Hannah. Remember, Eli was the one who had observed Hannah praying and had observed her praying with so much anguish that she thought that she was crazy, or he thought that she was drunk because of how into it she was. And she looked at Eli 2 years later after God gave her the son. And in verse 27, Hannah says, I asked the Lord to give me this boy, and he has granted my request. She's infertile. She prays and she has a son, and prayer changes things. In 2 Kings chapter 20, there's a king named Hezekiah. And Hezekiah is a godly king. In fact, it says that there's no king like Hezekiah before or after him that loves God and is committed to God like Hezekiah. And there's a man named Isaiah. Isaiah is a prophet. He's a spokesperson for God in this time. And Isaiah comes in and tells Hezekiah, Hezekiah is sick. And Isaiah comes in and says, Hezekiah, you are sick and you are going to die from this illness. And Isaiah turns around and begins to leave the palace that he's in visiting Hezekiah. And Hezekiah, in verse 3, he begins to pray. He begins to weep and he begins to pray. And he says, remember, O Lord, remember how I've always been faithful to you and have served you single-mindedly, always doing what pleases you. And he prays for God to heal him. And it says that before Isaiah is out of the courtyard, he hasn't even left the palace yet, that God says, go back and give Hezekiah a message for me. And Isaiah walks back in and he says this, this is what the Lord, the God of your ancestor David, says, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. I will heal you. And 3 days from now, you will get out of bed and go to the temple of the Lord. I will add 15 years to your life, and I will rescue you and this city from the king of Assyria. So you've got Hezekiah, who is terminally ill, who is going to die, and he prays, and God hears his prayer and adds 15 years to his life. Prayer changes things. There's a story where Joshua is leading the Israelites through this land that God has promised them. Many of their enemies have armies far bigger than the Israelites. And yet God continues to provide for them over and over and over in defeating these people that God said that he would allow them to defeat. And so they're going through and they're fighting against the Amorites one day. And Joshua knows that the Amorites are going to escape because the sun is going down and the moon is coming up. And they're going to escape under the cover of darkness. And Joshua prays. Joshua prays. This is the craziest prayer in the Bible. He says, Joshua prayed to the Lord in front of all the people of Israel. So he wasn't doing like a secret thing where if it didn't work, you know, he was going to be able to kind of cover it up and he just wouldn't tell anybody about it. He prays in front of all the people. He says, let the sun stand still over Gibeon and the moon over the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still and the moon stood still for a full day, giving the Israelites enough time to beat back and defeat the enemy, the Amorites, and continue to take the land that God had promised them. And in verse 14 of Joshua 10, it says, there's never been a day like this one before or since when the Lord answered such a prayer. Surely the Lord fought for Israel that day. So it was going to be a regular 24-hour day, and Joshua prayed, and it wasn't a regular 24-hour day. The sun and the moon stayed still, and it gave them enough time. Prayer changes things. And you go, well, that's in the Old Testament. Well, if you flip all the way over to the New Testament, after Jesus, there is a time where King Herod, he is starting to kill the disciples of Jesus because he's threatening King Herod's power. And so he starts to kill some of the disciples, and one of the people that he decides not to kill, he puts him in jail instead, is Peter. And Peter is in jail, and it says that there's all these guards that are watching all the doors. He's got chains on his arm. And in Acts chapter 12, verse 5, it says this about the church, the other Christians that were not in jail yet. It says, but while Peter was in prison, the church prayed very earnestly for him. And that night, an angel of the Lord comes and visits Peter in prison. It says that the chains literally fall off of his hands. The angel then opens up the doors, and Peter and the angel walk straight out of the prison and out into the street. It says that Peter thought the whole time that it was a vision. And then he realizes when he gets out into the street, when he's freed from prison, that the angel just disappears. And then it says Peter finally came to his senses, verse 11. It's really true, he said. The Lord has sent his angel and saved me from Herod and from what the Jewish leaders had planned to do to me. Peter's in jail. The church prays, and God frees Peter from jail, and he's no longer there. In fact, it says Peter went straight to the house that they were praying and knocked on the door, and the people in the house were like, no, it can't be already. Like, he couldn't have answered this already, and he's like, I'm right here. Prayer changes things. And I understand, when I tell those stories, I understand that there's this, I don't know, I call it a streak of skepticism in our hearts where we go, yeah, but this book was written a long time ago, and I didn't see it with my own eyes. And I'm not even sure if I can trust it. A lot of people that I know think that this is just folklore, just stories people made up to defend their faith that they come up with too. Like, I get it. And you go, I don't know if God, even if you're a Christian, you might hear some of these stories, you go, yeah, I don't know if God really works that way anymore. I'm not really sure if that's how he's interacting. I'm not sure. It doesn't seem like he's listening to me, because I've prayed for something for a long time, and it just doesn't seem like he's listening to me. And so I get that there's a streak of skepticism when I read stories from long ago about how prayer changes things. And so that's why I wanted to share with you the second reason why I know that prayer changes things. It's because I personally have witnessed undeniably that prayer changes things. I know it. And if we passed a microphone around and asked you, have you ever had God answer a prayer where prayer changed something for you? I know we could be here till tonight with stories that I've even talked to many of you about how God came in and answered one of your prayers. When I was a senior in college, I went to Brazil on a missions trip. Amazing trip. In fact, in a lot of ways, I'm up here today because of what God did in my life on that trip. Like, he called me into ministry on that trip, and I said yes. And it was just a profound impact on me. About 2 days before we came back, I was bitten on the knee by a spider. And at first, I'd been bitten by spiders before, didn't really care. And so just kept going around my business. And then I became a little bit more concerned about it when it began to be more infected. And it got to the point where I was having a hard time walking. And then by the time I was in the airport on the way home from the trip in Brazil, I had to be wheeled through the airport on a wheelchair because I couldn't even walk at all. Couldn't bend my knee. My whole knee was, you know, totally infected. And I got back to Marion, Indiana Wesleyan, and started talking to some of the other coaches and the athletic trainers and the nurses. And they said, you really need to go get this checked out. So I went and got some tests done. And I'm not saying anybody had a knife out, but the word amputation came up in the conversation. And when that comes up in the conversation, you get a little concerned. You start to pray a little bit more. Am I right, Zach? I mean, you start to pray a little bit more when they say amputation. And so I called my parents. I'm like, hey, like, this is getting for real. Like, my whole knee, I can't even get in the car because my knee is so infected. And my mom said, well, we're going to send a letter out to all of our prayer supporters, and everybody's going to pray for you. And so that night, she sent it out. I remember I was in the McDonald's drive-thru when she told me she was going to do that. And I just said, I'm going to trust that these hundreds, maybe thousands of people, they're going to pray for me. I'm going to trust that God's going to hear this prayer and that prayer's going to change things. And I'm not exaggerating. I woke up the next morning and I walked into the kitchen to make breakfast before I realized that my knee was still kind of a little bit sore. And the next day, it was completely better. And you can think that there were like antibiotics in the McDonald's, but I don't think that there was. As far as I know, there was nothing going on. I'm just telling you that God healed me because of the prayers of his people, and prayer changes things. Many of you guys know, I didn't tell them I was going to say this, but we've told it before, so it's fine. Cody and Mindy McManaway are in here. You guys, they were married, 7 or 8 years ago, and from day one, their heart's desire was to have a family, and so they wanted to have a baby so bad. And then after, a couple years, they realized that they were going to have to try other ways. They were going to try every medical way to try to have a baby. And, I don't really know all the details other than to say it got to the point where the doctor said, we really don't think it's healthy for you to continue to take this medicine. We think you need to get off of it for a little while. And Cody and Mindy, in their unbelievable faith, said, the month that we go off of the medicine is the month that we believe that God is going to help us to get pregnant. And so they went around and they had meetings with all of some of their closest friends. And they said, this month, will you pray with us every single day that God will give us a child? This is the month that we're going off of the medicine. There's not going to be a medical way of explaining how this happens. We believe that if we pray, God will heal Mindy's body and will give us a baby. And Nora McManaway, I went to her birthday party. She's back in Three Creeks Kids right now. And that was an incredible blessing to so many people in this church to watch prayer change things. In 2010, I was the director of a camp. And we had this thing. We thought there was this event at the camp that I was at in the 90s called Tidal Wave. And it was like the greatest thing ever. Everybody loved Tidal Wave, jet skis and boats and tournaments. And it was like teenager mecca in the summer, right? And it was the easiest thing for a teenager to bring their unsaved friend to. It was the easiest invite. And so it was popular in the 90s. And for whatever reason, it had gone off. And we thought, as these new directors, let's bring back Tidal Wave, man. God is going to be honored in that. We're gonna be able to tell a lot of people about Jesus that haven't heard of him, and so let's bring it back. And I remember we had 600 or 700 people signed up for Tidal Wave, and all week I'm looking at the weather, and I'm going, oh gosh, it's supposed to rain all day Saturday, and at Beulah Beach at the time, there's nothing to do inside, and so if it was going to rain all day, people were just going to leave, people weren't going to stay, and it wasn't going to be what we were praying that it would be. And so I'm looking at it all week, and I remember Friday night, I was in my mom's office with my buddy named Ryan, and we looked at it, and from 8 a.m. until 8 p.m., 100% rain was forecasted. 100%. And it was one of those cells that was like the whole state was going to be covered in green. You know what I'm talking about, right? It's coming down. It's just going to rain the whole day. And I just remember I was so sad. We were ramping up for this thing. We had so many people coming. And I was like, I am so sad. And my buddy Ryan goes, we got to pray. And so I remember we got on our knees and we prayed. We asked God that he would divert the storm and so that we could have this event and people would come to know Jesus Christ. And it was about 9:30 the next morning. Registration was at 10 a.m. And about 9:30, it was sprinkling a little bit. And it stopped and the sun came out. It was 80 and sunny the entire day, not a drop of rain the entire day. And I'm not 100. I remember I've actually gone back to like a weather.com and like, can I look at how the map, can I play that back? You know what I mean? Like 10 years later. And can I see what happened? Because I remember that day I went into the office and I looked at the computer and I looked at the cell and it literally split around where we were at. I'm not kidding. I'm not exaggerating you. I saw it with my own eyes. And it didn't rain all day, and I'm not sure how many people put their faith in Jesus that night, but I know that there were a bunch of kids that raised their hand, that came forward, that gave their lives to Jesus Christ on that day. And it's because God heard my prayer, and prayer changes things. It changes things for sure. And some of these for me, when I think back to all the times I've had God answer my prayers, there's these iconic big ones, and then there's really little ones, like seemingly very insignificant, inconsequential. You'll be like, really, Joel, you wasted a prayer on that? You know what I mean? And you ever feel that way? Like somebody asks you to, like, I don't know, pray for their pet or something, and you're like, I don't know if I want to like really use one for that. I don't know. I can remember there was a time. I just love telling these stories because they're so close to my heart, and I think you have stories like it. Like, this story might not be like, wow, that's the greatest thing I've ever heard, but it might help you remember just a little way that God has answered your prayers. I remember me and my two friends, Dave and Ben, we went golfing, little par three course, and we got to the end of, you know, walking around and playing nine holes, and Dave lost his wallet. And so we're like, well, it's probably on the golf course somewhere, so we got to go walk the whole thing again. And we walked the entire golf course twice, like combing every inch, like Navy SEALs, like crawling on our hands and knees, like looking everywhere. Where could Dave's wallet be? We get back to the clubhouse after two tours of looking around, and my friend Ben goes, we should pray about this. And I'm like, it's Dave's wallet. Like, he can just cancel the credit cards. Are we going to really use a prayer on this one? And we got together and we prayed. We said, God, we just asked you to help us find this thing. And we walked out 3 minutes later in a place that we'd already looked. We found the wallet right there. And I just remember going, God even hears the littlest prayers for me. That same year, I think, I had a computer that had every document that I owned on it. And I just remember I dropped it, genius, and I remember trying to turn it on after I dropped it. And I would turn it on, it would start for like 5 seconds, and then it would just give you the spinning wheel of death. And it would just freeze, and it would never boot up. I would turn it on, I'd let it go for 2 hours, nothing would ever change. And I probably tried to turn it on no less than 40 or 50 times. And I remember just being so discouraged because all my Bible Institute documents and everything I'd worked on for the last couple of years was all on this computer. And this is before Google Drive days. And so this is what I was just thinking, man, I'm so sad about this. And I just remember God putting it on my heart to pray. And I prayed. I'm not kidding. I said, Lord, would you just allow this thing to turn on just long enough so I can get everything that I want off of it? And I had an external hard drive, and I went out onto this patio, onto this table. And I remember plugging it in. I remember, like, with my eyes closed, pushing the power button, and it turned on. And I got every doc. It turned on for about 10 minutes. I got every document that I wanted onto an external hard drive. And right after that was over, it froze again, and it never turned on again. I'm not exaggerating. And I could talk to you even longer about just ways that prayers have changed, just little things and big things in my life. And I get it, that there's just a part in us when we hear stories like this, we go, yeah, that just seems a little crazy, Joel. And I just want you to know that I agree with you, that this is wild, that God, the creator of the universe, would hear me. I think it's out of control wild that this is the reality for my life. You go, that's kind of a stretch. I totally agree. I don't think I can stretch my mind far enough to understand that God, the creator of the universe, hears me in that prayer changes things. That things that would not happen, happen because I prayed. That's wild to me. And I think about people that come into this church, and I just imagine, somebody coming into this church who's looking for God, and they come in here and they say, yeah, there's really nothing special going on in there. And then leaving and just thinking that we don't have anything unusual or unique. I just think, what a tragedy. What a tragedy that we talked about a God that we made up and not the God of the Bible. I just imagine someone coming up here going, coming into church going, you know what? I'm going to try church because I'm seeking to see if God is real. And they walk out and they go, I don't know that they really have anything that I can't find somewhere else. There didn't seem to be anything unusual or unique about that group of people. I just think, what a tragic misrepresentation of this God that hears me and answers my prayers. One of the great privileges of being a Christ follower is that your prayers are heard and prayers change things. Have you grabbed a hold of that in your life if you're a Christ follower? It's one of the greatest mysteries and privileges that will ever come upon you, that somehow God hears you and prayers change things. James 4:2 says this. It makes it abundantly clear. You do not have because you do not ask God. It's like so clear. It doesn't say you would have anyways, even if you didn't ask, because God's got a plan. It's not what it says, and the verse doesn't mean the opposite of what it says. It doesn't mean the opposite. It says you do not have because you do not ask God. Prayer changes things. What an unbelievable thing for somebody who puts their faith in Jesus. Like crazy, wild, no way that this can possibly be true. And then there's another verse that I ought to read you, though. It's in 1 John 5, and I believe it's in 14. I guess it'll tell us. Yeah, nailed it. 1 John 5:14 says this, and this is the confidence that we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And it's almost like this verse like reins us back in a little bit, right? It's like James 4:2, you don't have because you don't ask, so just ask. Like, the world, I mean, everything, you can just ask for anything you want. And then you read 1 John 5, it's like, oh, but it has to be according to his will. God has to like it, right? It like reins us back in a little bit. But see, the verses at first glance seem to compete with one another. But if you think about it for just a second in a different way, you realize that they actually complement one another. And here's what I mean by that. On one hand, we pray, and prayer changes things. God hears us and prayer changes things. And on the other hand, God in his infinite wisdom serves as guardrails for us. Because we've all prayed for something that we are thrilled that God did not say yes to, right? The person you prayed to marry in middle school, and you look at them now, you know? You're thrilled that God did not answer that prayer. On one hand, we pray and we believe that prayer changes things. But on the other hand, God's infinite wisdom serves as guardrails. It's like, pray for anything you want, but guess what? You can't screw it up too bad because God's in control. It's like that he answers us and he protects us from our requests at the same time. Does it get any better than that? It is crazy that we have a God who hears us and loves us and protects us from ourselves in prayer. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. If you have your Bibles, I just want to tell you one more story about an answered prayer this morning. If you got your Bibles, would you go to Luke chapter 23? And I'm going to close with this. And this is a story. I don't know if you know this. Some of you may know this, but when Jesus was crucified on a cross, he wasn't the only person who was crucified that day. Maybe you've seen a picture of three crosses on a hill rather than one cross on a hill. It's because two other people, two criminals, were crucified on either side of Jesus. And in Luke 23, we see that these two guys actually talk with Jesus and talk about Jesus while they are hanging on a cross next to Jesus. And this is, it's got to be the greatest answered prayer of anybody ever in the history of humanity. This has to be the greatest answered prayer ever. And I just want to read you the story of what happened. In Luke chapter 23, verse 32, it says this. Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with Jesus to be executed. And when they came to a place called the Skull, the Romans crucified him there, along with the criminals. One on his right and the other on his left. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. the people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him, and they said, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he's God's Messiah, the chosen one." And the soldiers also came up and mocked him, and they offered him wine, vinegar, and said, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." There was a written notice above him which read, "This is the king of the Jews." And here in verse 39, you see the criminals start to interact with Jesus. And one of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at Jesus. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself from us. Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him and said, "Don't you fear God? Since you're under the same sentence, we're punished justly, for we're getting what our deeds deserve, but this man has done nothing wrong. He believes that Jesus is God and that he's perfect." And he looks at Jesus, the second criminal, and he says, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus answered him, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." Prayer changes things. Look at it. The guy looks at Jesus and says, "Jesus, remember me when you go into your kingdom." He's talking to Jesus. That is what prayer is. He's talking straight to God. He says, "Jesus, forgive my sins. Remember me when you go into your kingdom. I believe that you're God. I believe that you're perfect, and I need you. Will you remember me? I believe in you." That's what this guy's saying to Jesus. And Jesus says, "I tell you today, you're going to be with me in paradise." So before his prayer, he's destined for an eternity separated from God. And he prays and asks Jesus. He asks him for eternal life. And Jesus says, "Granted, you're in. I forgive you. And today you are going to heaven with me." Prayer changes things. Listen, in the life of a Christian, in the life of a Christ follower, we all have this moment where we cross from death to life, where you cross from sinner to saved, when you cross from enemy of God to child of God. There's a moment, and some of it can be gray. Maybe you don't remember exactly when that happened for you, but for most people, I'd say they have a moment where they go, "That's when God saved me." And oftentimes that moment is marked by a prayer. It's marked by what Christians call a sinner's prayer. It's where you acknowledge that you're not okay without God, that you're not complete without God, that you need Jesus to forgive your sins and bring you into his family. And I just want to ask you, have you prayed that prayer today? Because prayer changes things. In fact, it can change everything for you. It changes everything. Where currently, if you are not in a relationship with Jesus, if you have not prayed to give your life to Christ, you're destined for an eternity separated from him, but Jesus wants to hear your prayer. You're not worse than the criminal that's being crucified. And Jesus goes, "Today you're going to be with me in paradise. You're in. Come on in." I'm just asking, does anybody in here need to pray that prayer today? Could everybody just close your eyes and bow your heads where you're at? If that's you, where you go, "I want to pray that prayer. I'm going to pray a prayer, and I just want you to echo it." You can echo it out loud. You can echo it in your heart. You can echo it just kind of under your breath. It doesn't matter how you echo it. It's just that God's going to hear you, and prayer changes things. So I'm going to pray, and I'm going to give you enough time in between the lines that I say to give you enough time to echo my prayer. Dear Jesus, prayer changes things. I believe that. And I need you to hear this prayer right now. Will you forgive me for my sins? I need your forgiveness. I need you to save me. I give you all of my life for the rest of my life. Thank you that prayer changes things. Amen. You guys can look up here at me real quick. If that was you, like if you prayed that for the first time, I'm just going to ask you just one simple thing. Those connection cards that Morgan held up earlier, just write your name and your phone number on there. And on the back of that card, just write the word Jesus. And then on your way out, there's a basket that says connection cards. And you can just drop that card in that basket. And I just want to call you this week and celebrate what God has done in your life and tell you more about what it means to be saved and to be a Christ follower. And then for those of you who have prayed that prayer before and you have given your life to Christ, I just want to talk with you just for 1 second. When I ask this question, I want you to be honest about what comes to mind. What is the prayer that you want to ask God for today? What's the one thing in your life that you want to pray for today, believing that prayer could change things? Maybe you've prayed for it 1,000 times before, but I'm asking, what would be the one thing that you would want to put before God today, knowing and believing that prayer changes things? And if as I ask those questions, if kind of a skepticism or a doubt creeped into your mind, I want to ask you something very specifically as well. Do you feel like you just want to ask God for more faith just to believe that prayer changes things? Maybe that's where you're at. Maybe you hear this, you go, man, it must be nice to believe that, but I'm not sure if I'm there right now. Maybe you don't have a whole lot of confidence in prayer. I don't know about you, I'll just be honest. There are times where I am flying high, where I know that God has answered my prayers recently and I can remember them and I pray for lots of things and I'm like, of course prayer changes things. And there are other times where I'm like, I just feel like I'm talking to the ceiling. I don't feel like anybody's listening to my prayers. And I know that you've for sure been in that place before. Sometimes I just wish I had more confidence, you know? Like this week, I was sitting down and I had breakfast with Cooper and I said, hey, did you have any bad dreams last night? Like that's like big breakfast conversation every day. Did you have any bad dreams last night? And she said, no. And I said, well, that's good. And she said, well, yeah, I prayed and Jesus heard me. That's what she said. She doesn't even know what prayer is. And she has more confidence than I do sometimes, you know, just like this unshakable. Of course I prayed. God heard me. That's why. And just be honest, like maybe you're not there right now. And I just want you to know that's okay. But every week here at Three Creeks, we've got a prayer team that comes up on either side. If you're on that prayer team today, if you guys would come forward right now, that'd be great. They are here. They are here for you. And if you're in either category, like the first questions I ask, if there's something that you want to pray for, if there's something that you need to change or that you want God to change, that you want your prayers to be answered, if there's a request that comes to mind, I just think, man, these people are here to contend with you in that prayer. And I would strongly urge you not to pass up the opportunity for somebody to join you in that, because maybe they have the faith that you don't have right now. And if you're in that second category, you just go, man, I just need more faith to believe that prayer can change things. Like that's where I'm at right now. That is a request that you need to be okay having. You need to be honest enough to say, I just need a little bit more faith right now. And that is your request today. And I just want to encourage you to ask God for more faith, because prayer can change things and He will give it to you. He will give it to you. These people are here for you. We're going to give you just a few minutes to pray. And if you feel led to just come up here and pray with somebody, we would love to stand with you and contend with you in prayer, believing that prayer changes things. Would you bow your heads and let me pray for us into this time? God, if there's anybody in here right now who is supposed to come up and just pray with somebody, we ask that they would do that. Pray that nobody in here would think that there needs to be something wrong with them to pray. In fact, if there's something right with them at all, they will want to pray. And so we ask, God, that you would put it in our hearts to come forward and invite somebody else to pray with us. For the people in here who are struggling to even have any faith at all, God, we pray that you would give that to them. And God, as we present our requests before you today, we believe that prayer changes things. We believe it, Lord Jesus, and in your name, we embrace this mystery that you hear us. It's unbelievable, but God, we come before you today. Thank you for hearing our prayers. In Jesus' name, Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Three Creeks Church Podcast. To find out more about our church, attend a worship service, or to give online, visit threecreekschurch.com.